Robots Radio. Games, lore, stories, community. Just press play.
Welcome, weary traveler. Need a short rest? Oh, I see. They said you'd be showing up about now. Come on, through the portal. Best not keep the Lore Mistress and Lore Master waiting. You know how they get.
Robots Radio presents the Dungeons & Dragons Lorecast. The best way for everyone from experienced dungeon masters to those curious about D&D to learn more about the worlds, creatures, and lore of Dungeons & Dragons.
Hello and welcome to the Dungeons & Dragons Lorecast. My name is Sergio.
And I am Mary.
And if you have checked the calendar, then you may notice we are now in the month of June. And these next few months, they tend to be a little bit hot.
Sure. Sure. A little bit hot in Texas.
And depending on where you live geographically, it might be a little bit more than hot. Here where the tower is located on the plain of Texas, it's sometimes it feels like it's hotter than hell.
There is soup and it's hotter than the nine hells here.
Yeah, but I was gonna say, you know what is as hot as hell?
Is it
hell? Is it hot as hell.
Layers?
Well, all the layers of hell are hot.
That's true.
And we are nothing. We're nothing. We love having theme episodes. We love having a nice theme, and Mary suggested that we talk about the nine hells since it's hot outside. Let's talk about how hot it is in the nine layers of hell.
I'm here for it. Where are we gonna start?
Well, you might think, you know, that we start at the beginning, right? We stop at the top layer of hell in the D&D cosmos,
like an elevator.
I mean, yeah,
like, elevator.
You did that on purpose.
I have been preparing for this moment my whole life. No.
So
elevator came up as soon as I learned that there were nine layers of hell. Like, I was like, oh, you take the elevator down, right?
You take it down, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's obvious.
So you would think we would start with the topmost layer, which is Avernus, but haha, you would be wrong, because again, if we love one thing more than like doing theme episodes, it's rolling dice.
It's true.
And so
how do we choose? Why don't we roll for it?
Yeah, we just rolled for it, and so we rolled a 10-sided die, with the 10 being a reroll.
Mm-hmm.
And oddly enough, the ninth and most bottom layer of the nine hells is what came up first. So we're starting all the way
foundation.
At the bottom. We're starting all
solid
the way
foundation.
At the bottom.
That's what I'm saying.
So yeah,
nice thick bottom layer to support the rest of the hells.
Exactly. So let's go ahead and get this party started.
Let's go.
So we're going to talk Nessus. Hundreds of miles below Maladomini and Kanya lies Nessus, the ninth hell. Black, icy rifts beneath Kanya's glaciers plunge down to the fiery heart of the hells to link the two layers. Nessus is home to the mighty Asmodeus and countless legions of powerful devils. Few indeed are those who have looked upon its flaming rifts and infernal fortresses and returned again to the mortal world. I just love it. I love setting the scene.
I don't even have a smart ass comment this time.
That's just badass.
Let's just
dig right in.
I'm here for it.
So as I said, Nessus was the ninth and deepest layer of the nine hells of Ba'athor, and also the endpoint of Asmodeus's fall, which we will get to later in the episode.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's not much that anyone in the mortal world knows about the lair. Like I said, there are few souls who have gotten in, and even fewer that can be counted on one hand who have gotten out. And so a lot of the lore that we get comes from fiends, comes from devils. So as a result, not the most reliable sources.
Everything with a grain of salt.
For sure. And I love that aspect of it, because there's some information, there's some that I found in my research, some lore that contradicts each other. And
oh, interesting.
That's fine, because like one devil could be telling you a lie,
one thing,
while the other one is telling you another lie, and the truth is somewhere in the middle.
Or they could both be telling the truth, and perspective.
Absolutely.
Is a thing.
Speaking of the fiends of this level, they're highly sophisticated. Mm-hmm. And don't take many chances on deals. So you always hear about that, like, deal with the devil. If they were to make some kind of deal, you can be rest assured that it's definitely skewed to their advantage. And this is their stronghold. This is their house and home. They don't let strangers roam around uninvited.
Man, because think about the layers of security.
Oh yeah, we'll definitely get to that.
They're
definitely secure.
Good, good.
So, if you happen to find yourself in Nessus, which I'm sorry if you do, I don't know.
Also, shame on you.
Yeah, I was gonna say, I don't know what you've done. But maybe you're there for a good reason. Maybe you're there as a hero. We actually in the middle of the show, we'll be highlighting the same content during the during the Hotter Than the Nine Hells series.
Right. So for this entire series, we've got a specific thing for the entirety of it.
No, yeah, and it's and in it you will travel to each of the nine layers. And so there could be a good reason for you to be there, aside from being, you know, a terrible person.
Scallywag.
Yeah, exactly.
Scallywags.
So, if you scallywags, all of them
down to the ninth level.
It's like you kiddos are acting like a bunch of scallywags. Do you want to end up in Nessus? And then I knock on the door. Hey, did you call my kid a scallywag? Like, look, I know he's been a little butthead lately, but
scallywag's a bit heavy, sir. Your tongue. There's ladies having, present. Some woman having, faints.
He's been having nightmares about Nessus for 2 weeks now.
Nessmares.
So what can you expect to see while you're there? Well, think of the nine hells as an inverted mountain. And
okay.
So Nessus would be at the peak of this mountain.
The bottom of the iceberg.
Right. And so it's the lowest area in all of Ba'athor. Mm-hmm. Yet it affords the best view of the rest of the plain. So come for the view, stay for the flames. Nessus is spherical in shape. A cavern surrounding the dark core of the poisoned world of Ba'athor, consisting of winding crevices and these great flame-filled gulfs.
I bet that they cook better barbecue than anyone else, though.
I mean, like, they would have to, right?
You'd have to stop at the Nessus barbecue.
Or the barbecue's awful. And that's the true hell.
That's the true hell. You go to the place it should be. That's it.
Oh,
mystery solved.
As a Texan, that made me really sad.
Take my hat off in reverence.
Oh, yeah. I feel like, yeah.
My honorary 20-gallon hat that you get whenever you become a Texan. It's just given to you.
Just given to you at the hospital. It's given to your parents. Mm-hmm, and then they... Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you get the lasso at 10.
And then they give you... And then they put it with your birth certificate.
Yeah.
And your spurs. It's similar to the tunnels of Malodomini, but the tunnels of Nessus more often than not have no floor and instead just drop, you know, scores and scores of miles, like just dozens upon dozens, if not hundreds of miles down to rivers of molten rock. And beyond that, it's just, it's featureless. It's a featureless plane with jagged edges. Like there, it's like a, it's literally a wasteland with giant like chasms and canyons and gulfs and flames. And like, there's like nothing like spooky to it, except the fact that there's just, like nothing there, which is spooky in and of itself.
It's barren and flamey and not pleasant.
Yeah, but it's a dry heat, so it's fine. Like if
so it's Arizona.
And this is just based on humidity, nobody from the H come at me, but I feel if hell were to have a like any kind of climate, it would be like Houston. It would be absolutely humid and miserable.
I was thinking Death Valley, but that's fair.
I mean, that's a dry heat though. I can manage that.
I don't know, man. I don't like when we play the air is soup.
But yeah, that's terrible. But it's huge. It's Nessus is about 2,500 miles or 4,000 kilometers from east to west. And then from north to south, it's about a little less than half that. So it's 1,100 miles or 1,800 kilometers. And all of which is it's floating in this endless red void. And like I said, it's a featureless plane, except for the you know, it being scarred by chasms and ravines that are sometimes several thousand miles deep. Sometimes these ditches are little more than just gashes on the surface of the land, only a few feet deep. Others are deeper than anyone could imagine, extending hundreds or even thousands of miles down through the ground. Just keep going. And it's the ninth is just crisscrossed by these rifts and trenches, into it's the blasted shredded. Land. It's shredded like some good barbacoa. Like I said, they range from a few hundred feet to thousands of miles, and it's possible to fall for hours before hitting the bottom. At some point you just have to be bored, right? Like you're just like at first you're terrified. You're thinking like, oh my God, what am I going to do? And then after
I hadn't peed myself like an hour ago.
Then after like a couple of hours, you're just like, look, can this just this truly is hell? Can this just end?
So we've got that's the hell. Falling forever.
Oh geez. It's like waiting in line for the Texas Giant, but at the end you just die, which
So the old Texas Giant.
So additionally, the plane is frequently ravaged by these fiery windstorms.
Fire tornadoes.
So these firestorms of Nessus. Mm-hmm. So the rifts of Nessus, they're periodically swept by these racing walls of fire, driven by furious winds like a gargantuan blast furnace. These firestorms are dangerous to any creature not resistant or immune to fire damage. And this is all, I believe this is from fourth edition lore. So obviously you can, if you want to use this in a 5e game or even in an older edition, you can, you know, tweak it to fit the current system that you're using.
Right.
But the firestorm attack, it's like I said, several hundred feet long, 5 to 10 feet deep, and 10 to 60 feet high. So when it first appears, it's huge. There's like probably no escaping it. Like several hundred feet long. You're going to have to just weather the storm, essentially. But see, that's how I know.
10 foot deep, and then 60 feet tall. My brain's. I'm still building it in my head.
And several hundred feet long. So it's, there's just, nowhere
my brain
on the
is
table.
Picturing
you're safe.
The Great Wall of China, but on fire. That's what my brain chose for the starting image.
Yeah. That's pretty
but
apt.
Not the full, obviously not the full distance, but.
So when the firestorm first appears, you roll the DM will roll initiative for it. And on its turn, it sweeps across a battlefield from one side to another, moving 1d12 squares on each of its turns. Now, this wall attacks all creatures it contacts when it advances, as well as any creature that is pushed into it or otherwise enters it during the round. It's a plus 22. It says plus 22 versus reflex, which is 4e talk. It sounds pretty pretty hard to miss.
Is it? Okay.
Seems so. And it does 4d8 plus 8 fire damage. And then an ongoing 10 fire damage.
So, for existing and being on fire.
Right. So 4d8 plus, it's up to 40 HP just in one turn. I mean, 16 at the most. Just to, and there's no way to.
I disagree with your math.
You do?
42,
52?
4d8. 4d8?
Yep. So you roll 4d8s.
Yeah, 32.
Yeah, plus
so if
eight.
You like max damage, oh, so it's 40, not 48. Got it.
Aha.
I was doing it to 36.
Math rocks.
I was doing 9.
Math rock win.
I was multiplying by 9. Yeah. Math rock win.
So in addition to the fire, you've also got the river Styx, which we discussed a couple weeks back.
Mm-hmm.
It trickles down in a Nessus through a little known small offshoot, which you were talking about security earlier, was heavily guarded by devils who killed any unauthorized visitors on site. Mm. No questions asked.
One of the ways to attempt to sneak in and out, but good luck.
Yeah, good luck with that. Like, with that. You know, no
cool.
questions.
I'll wait.
No, like,
I'll
hey, who are you? What are you doing here? Let me see your
credentials. Dead on site.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Or at least they can, you know, they can certainly try, but.
You can certainly try.
The river drained into a shallow pool known as the Forgotten Lake, then continued at the bottom of some of the crevices before percolating through the earth and continuing its course into Gehenna.
Okay. Yeah, this is the one that was mentioned. This was actually mentioned in the River Styx episode, too. And it's called that because nobody knows how to get there.
It's forgotten. Some people don't say that it doesn't even exist. Again,
this
so
true.
It's just a rumor, a legend. There's also another river, the River Lith, which also flows across Nessus, occasionally dropping into the trenches and trickling its way across the lair.
Probably named it on account of it tasting bad.
Yeah. So not much in the way of water. And definitely not much in the way of water that you would consider drinking. Right? You wouldn't drink that, right?
No, I'm not drinking from a river called Lith, and I'm definitely not drinking from the River Styx.
Okay, so at least you won't die that way.
No, I'm not going to get got by the river. It's going to be something else. I'm going to try to boop Asmodeus or something, and that's what's going to get me killed. Sir, you can kill me afterward. I just want to boop you.
I would like to boop you.
Can
please
I roll
and
for
thank
boop?
You. speaking of Asmodeus, this lair is ruled by him, directly by him, who presents himself as an illusion of a tall, red-skinned, slender man. He is assisted by a court of archdevils that include the Chancellor of Hell, Ajimlik, Inquisitor Fongor, and several other commanders. Now, Chancellor of Hell, like, that's, I mean,
I want that on a name tag.
Is that like, do you think that's what
looks good on a resume?
Do you think that's what he aspired to as a baby devil, as a child devil?
Baby devil? I don't know.
Like, he's like, when I grow up, like, Ajimlik, what do you want to be when you grow up? Like, I want to be Chancellor of Hell. It's like, oh, well, if you're a real son of a gun and really, you know, do terrible things.
You're a real scallywag.
If you're a real scallywag. Oh, I could scallywag with the worst of them.
I'm the worst scallywag there is, sir. You just wait and see.
It's like, that kid's going places.
Straight to hell. Wizard Fongor sounds absolutely disgusting. I did not even look. I haven't looked. I'm curious. But that name?
What is he?
Inquisitor Fongor.
Like, what is he inquiring about, I wonder? I mean, like, is he like their like torture kind of, like, does he get the information?
I don't know.
Well, he serves as Asmodeus's as his inquisitor, as you know, as the one who gets information for him. He's actually feuded with the Chancellor of Hell because he has subverted some of the Chancellor's spies. And he appears as a man with dead white skin, glittering pink eyes, a hoarse hissing voice, tiny horns, oily black hair, a forked tongue, and red hooves.
Oh, good. He looks exactly how he sounds.
It's the glittering pink eyes for me, and the combination dead white skin.
Okay, so is it like, hey, first of all, there's nothing wrong with having dead white skin. I'm gonna throw that out there.
I say, like, you can have the dead white skin and you can have glittering pink eyes, but you can't have them both and expect me not to just absolutely less.
Well, now I'm picturing like chibied with the big old uwu eyes, all kawaii-fied.
No, see, you always do that.
Said glittering pink eyes.
That he's disgusting. He's supposed to be disgusting. His name is Fongor, for Christ, for goodness sakes. Come on, for crying out loud. Let's move on before you start. You're gonna try to
make this worse,
or you're gonna try to boop Fongor. That's what you're gonna try to do.
Maybe.
Asmodeus also allowed Zariel to recover in Nessus from the wound sustained by her fall before assigning her as Duchess of Avernus, in which, you know, you can familiarize yourself with Zariel in Descent into Avernus.
Mm-hmm.
Asmodeus's pit fiend generals include Executioner Alastor, his Major Domo, Balalberith, and Constable Martinet. I like
sounds fancy.
Right. Like, I was gonna say, like, yo, Inquisitor Fongor, Executioner Alastor, Balbareth, Constable Martinet.
That picturing dude, a slightly French accent, but a real bad one.
Right, right. He's like, he's like
Constable Martinet.
And like, yeah, he's like all the French stereotypes, but
you know, he's got a pointy mustache.
That is a devil. Yeah, he's definitely got
mustache,
like,
has some points. Yeah, I got the, like, twist. I saw you do the twist,
like,
gesture.
Like,
yeah,
like the Van Dyke sort of thing going on. Yeah for sure.
Kind of Snidely Whiplash-ish.
So beyond that, beyond, you know, the sort of like the right. The Dukes of Nessus. Nessus is inhabited by a majority of greater devils. Including the legions of pit fiends, Cornagons, you know, among others. The armies of Nessus are Asmodeus' personal troops, though they're not involved in the Blood War per se, or the struggles of other lords, which the Blood War is awesome. And we're definitely going to cover that.
We'll get there.
Leading into the release of Planescape. Like, this is a lot of fun. We're not only talking about Hell during the summer, but because Planescape is soon to come out, we're also going to be talking about all the stuff, all the different planes, and the Blood War is definitely involved in that. So,
yep,
very excited because Planescape is so cool.
He is so excited.
I'm so excited.
He's like wiggling in his chair, excited.
So all these different pit fiends, devils, they're all very tightly controlled by Asmodeus. So tightly controlled that they can only teleport out of Nessus with his permission, though they can teleport around the plane absolutely, you know, freely.
Right.
Similarly, devils from the upper planes, including the Lords and the Dark Eight, they can only teleport into Nessus when invited by the Lord of Lies. Jeez. So, I mean, even like you know, the rulers of the other layers
realms. Mm-hmm.
Can't just like dip in and be like, hey, neighbor, can I borrow some sugar? It's like, I didn't allow you in here.
We have no sugar in hell.
Oh, that would be
you can't
bad.
Have sweet tea. Can't. So the tea is unsweetened and the barbecue's bad. Welcome
Stop.
To Nessus.
Oh, I was gonna make an Oklahoma joke. I was gonna say like it sounds like Oklahoma. Anyway,
I say that
I, again, no slander toward any Okies.
He's gotta say things like that, or they take his card.
I'm not allowed to
be a Texan anymore.
As a Texan, I am obligated to trash talk Oklahoma at least once a week, and I don't mean anything by it. It's just purely perfunctory. So that being said, we're going to take a quick break, go to the middle of the show, talk mm-hmm. about all the fun stuff, and then we'll be back to discuss some of the notable locations in Nessus. So like if you had like the like you know travel guide to Nessus, these are the places that they like could say like you need to go visit, which probably isn't, if you're trying to stay alive or sane, probably not the best idea.
Yeah, this is not the pamphlet you want to pick up of places to go. But if you're trying to lose it or whatever, I suppose that's all right.
By all means.
Have at it.
This is the middle of the show. Welcome.
This is the middle of the show.
Here
it is.
And I know you're a little confused at, you know, when we started recording, like, is this the middle?
So
like, no,
bad.
We just started. What's
so bad
you?
At directions. I am the worst at directions. This is why I don't navigate.
You need Waze. Waze has changed my life. Waze.
I need Waze to navigate?
Waze. It's an app, like W-A-Z-E.
Yeah, to make it sound cool. Yeah,
it'll literally, like, tell you, like, take this exit. Like, if you're on the highway, it'd be like, take this exit. Stay on the access road for a couple of exits and get back on the highway. That'll be like, that'll save you like 2 minutes. And I'm like, hell yeah, Will. I'm down. But we're not here to...
We're not navigating
it's one of the
that are the constant construction on a specific
Interstate
highway.
Interstate 35. I'll put it out there. It's I-35.
It is.
I won't backtrack on. I'll backtrack on Houston
He'll
slander.
Backpedal
I'll backpedal on Oklahoma mm-hmm. slander, but I will not backpedal on 35 slander. It is the worst.
I stand by that. That's the hill.
That's
die
the
on.
Hill. Yeah.
The problem is,
probably will
a
die on that damn
around
hill.
It, but it's fine.
But yeah, that's just the fringe benefit of listening to the show. You get to hear about all my different
weather and traffic.
Yeah, exactly.
Tower in Texas.
But the middle of the show is where we start off by thanking the patrons.
Yes, we do. We start off by saying thank you. Special shout out to Ryan Gibbs, who became a patron while Sergio was speaking while we were recording.
Oh,
like,
while I was running my
it.
Dumb mouth.
He was just running his mouth and notification popped up. So special thank you. We appreciate you jumping on board here. Patrons make all of the things possible. I mean, we'd still probably find a way to do it, but it makes it a lot easier.
Oh yeah, absolutely. It helps us with t-shirts, helps mm-hmm. us with other merchandise. It helps us mm-hmm. to pay the artist for
yeah.
that art.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
And so
to acquire the things to bring you the sneakiest of previews whenever they occur as well.
Oh yeah, absolutely. So yeah, mm-hmm. thank you to all the patrons.
All
if you're interested in supporting the show in that way, mm-hmm. you can go to patreon.com/dndlorecast and sign up for one of the tiers that we got on there.
Got all kinds of stuff going on over there, all kinds of little bonuses, you know, merch and early access, got all the legacy episodes that you can have access to there.
Like literally hundreds of hours of content.
Yeah, so much content.
At your disposal.
So many bonuses.
And more to come.
Mm-hmm.
And if you want to support the show in other ways, how could they do that, Mary?
Oh gosh, you can go rate us on wherever it is that you're listening to us at. Just go tell them, hey, these guys are awesome. Also tell your friends that we're awesome. Other, you know, Discord. When someone's like, hey, I need something to listen to, just send them our way.
Yeah, I got the thing.
You can,
do you like D&D? Do you like to learn about traffic apps? I've got just the show for you.
It's true. It's true. You can also find us at DNDLorecast on all of the socials. We are everywhere. And
the IG, the TikToks, the Twitters.
The Twitters, all of the things. The Twitches. The things. Oh, yes. There will be twitching.
We will be twitching.
You'll see it. We have a channel over at the Robots Radio Discord that is Dungeons and Dragons channel that we also still visit. And we have our own big brand spanking new Discord because we had to make room for all of you wonderful travelers.
We're growing, and that's a direct result of the support of the community. We can't thank y'all enough.
Absolutely. It's all your fault, guys. Thank you.
But the fact that we're doing so much more stuff, it's all on you. If you want someone to blame, take a good hard look in the mirror.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Something that came across our desks here at the tower, which puts a little damper on things. Like, we spent last week talking about the Dungeons and Dragons Honor Among Thieves movie and how much fun it was. How it was just so, it was a relief, and because, you know, it was good.
We needed that win.
And it wasn't just good. It was damn good. It was a lot of fun. And even folks who aren't, you know, have never played a session of D&D in their life thought it was great.
Yep, this is true. Can confirm.
In fact, I was buying a gift for my friend's son's graduation. I was in a Hot Topic, my old stomping grounds, buying a Slayer and Metallica t-shirt for this young man.
Nice.
And I forgot what I said, but it was kind of symmetrical. And then I said, like, I'm like, that doesn't make any sense just because it's symmetrical. She's like, where did I hear that? I'm like, the Dungeons and she's like, yes, I saw that last night. It's so good.
It's
I'm like,
so
yes,
good.
It's very good.
We just
good.
Keep quoting the potatoes.
He's really potatoes. Unfortunately, though,
so many times it's been quoted.
Unfortunately, we have a link to an article about why a sequel is unlikely to happen, and it's all because of money. You know, it didn't make as much money at the box office as you know, obviously the production company was hoping.
Yeah, timing though, the timing on that. You went up against a giant.
He went up against a giant and
another
Mario
giant
movie.
And not just any giant, a Nintendo giant. They're
and
terrifying.
So, and so as far as, you know, the finances go, doesn't look good. However, you know, the critical and the audience reviews of it, you know, over 90% on both accounts. And so, you know, stranger things have happened. Strange, you know.
Hey, yeah, it has.
As far as, you know, movies that have gotten like cult followings or, you know, beloved films that, you know, that were somewhat overlooked at the box office.
It also shut the door for there to be, you know, different shows, different series, different areas of it. I don't feel like it's just going to, you know, slip away quietly. That's not a thing that nerds do.
No, yeah, exactly. I mean, we still have the live action TV series that's supposed to be on Paramount Plus coming.
Exciting.
And the success of that, you know, might spur, you know, to help a sequel being made. Mm-hmm. I don't think, you know, like I said, it's not the best news, but I don't think this is the, you know, the nail in the coffin for another.
Right.
I was going to say now the fifth D&D movie.
Right.
But if nothing else, if we don't ever see another D&D movie again,
it's
we have
like
this
another
one.
They stopped on a high note.
I was going to say, like, we have this one and it was great.
So, it's a beautiful thing.
Also, we have another article linked in the show notes. Forbes magazine, the magazine of, I guess, of rich people, I guess.
That's what I've always.
I was like,
Smarmy business guys mention it in movies and shows and stuff. That's what I know.
Well, they have a article about they have the hands-on look at the new official D&D VTT virtual tabletop.
Oh.
And so, you know, that's coming in time for likely the 50th anniversary next year.
Yeah.
It might be, you know, I'd rather get it later and have it be like amazing at the gate than get it as soon as possible.
Agreed.
And have it be buggy.
I understand they want to get it done quickly, but please do it right.
Right.
I don't need another VTT, a virtual tabletop that's not That's not, I need a more user-friendly variation. There are not a lot of them out there, and I'm cautiously optimistic.
Yeah, I mean, like, you know, there are options out there. You got Roll20.
There are, yeah, absolutely.
You've got Fantasy Grounds.
Mm-hmm. Foundry is another one.
Right.
Owlbear Rodeo, I think, is another one, too.
Owlbear Rodeo is, like, it's
kind of a surprising dark horse.
It is. I used it for the first time a couple weeks ago while playing some Dungeon Crawl Classics.
Yeah.
And it seems like it's pretty kind of like no frills. Like, just this is like, play the game.
Oh, do you just need something quick to get your game going? Good. Here you go.
Right.
Yeah. I use Incarnate for my stuff, though, too.
Oh, yeah.
Incarnate stuff to upload to other places.
I helped the Kickstarter for where I pledged the Kickstarter for Alchemy.
Oh, nice.
And that seems pretty promising. I've used it for a session with a secret project that I'm working on that once it goes live.
Be sneaky.
Once it goes live, I'll be able to promote that and talk about that. But it's pretty exciting. Something that I've been wanting to do for a while.
Fantastic.
But yeah, we'll have links to both those articles in the show notes. And going into the homebrew, like we said at the top of the show, we're going to be highlighting this each week during the when we do a hotter than a nine hells episode. Mm-hmm. But it's called Hellbound Heists. It's a good seller. It's got a lot of, you know, it's because it's available.
Oh, yeah.
It's available as a physical copy, which DM's Guild really only allows that for the titles that have sold a certain amount.
Right.
But it's got a murderer's row of talent. Brian Holmes, Steve Jasper Orr, Justice Armin have worked on this, and
she's thick.
Yeah, Hellbound Heist is amazing. And so it's nine layers of hell, nine heists, and the odds aren't in your favor. Explore each layer as a separate adventure or tie them all together for one hellish campaign. So 29 new monsters, 23 new items, one new background, and innumerable terror. I love that.
That's beautiful.
So what to expect from the Nessus adventure? It's called What's in a Name, and this is for levels 17 through 20. So if you just want to run this as a one-shot, and I love doing this. I had the experience of doing this with World Eater's Awakening, running this with which was 17th level, I believe, and having my players get to create these like super awesome characters that they haven't had a chance to play because unfortunately campaigns usually fall apart.
Yeah. There's not a lot of adventures for things at that level.
Exactly. So your adventurers are in for the heist of their lives. Reach the deepest part of the nine hells, all to steal a most powerful name from the fortress of Asmodeus. The art is incredible. The formatting is incredible. It would look fantastic on your bookshelf. If you want to get a physical copy, or you can just buy the PDF for $15.95.
Solid price for that too. There's a lot in there.
I mean, you get nine adventures plus all the mm-hmm. other stuff that I mentioned. Yeah. It's definitely worth it. But again, a link to that in the show notes. That being said, let's jump back into the show. Ah! Welcome back. We're talking Nessus.
We are. And it is toasty. It is warm. Uncomfortably warm.
Someone needs to open up a window or something.
I'm not opening a window up in Nessus. It's not happening.
You're gonna
let the air out.
You're gonna open up a window. So you're in Nessus.
Yeah. You've already said it's just awful there.
What is there to do? What sort of landmarks can you visit?
I
like, you know, you've got like the the Space Needle in Seattle.
Right.
I think there's like a giant bean somewhere. Is that in St. Louis or is that in Kansas City? Where's the bean at? Is that in Chicago? That's in Chicago.
I don't know. I've never been there.
I just walk right into these. I swear, I had no... I didn't mean to do this. Yeah, the giant bean is in Chicago.
Okay, there you go.
The Alamo in San Antonio. Like, mm-hmm. you know, like, but what kind of stuff can you visit in Nessus?
What's on the pamphlet for reasons to visit Nessus?
So in the deepest pit of all, a rift of incredible depth and width lying immediately below the layer boundary between Kanya and Nessus, stands mm-hmm. Malshim, the citadel of Baltor. Malshim is the largest city in all of the Outer Planes and home to Asmodeus.
Okay.
It's a monstrously huge structure that's easily hundreds of miles on every side, including vertically.
That is just bizarre. Okay.
It's monstrously huge.
Seriously huge.
It's the largest known citadel in the Outer Planes. Greater even than Kin Oin in the Grey Waste.
Okay.
The grim walls of Malshim hold interior passageways and courts that are magnificent beyond description. Halls of gold-veined marble, walls covered in intricate gold leaf, and furnishing of the finest quality. And I love this. It says, however, a tangible aura of despair suffuses its splendid hallways.
I love that. And I read it as diffuses. And I was like, oh, you've got those despair diffusers, which is definitely a thing.
Some parts of Malshim are completely deserted. And visitors could wander for hours through empty chambers and echoing halls.
That sounds extremely unsettling to me.
Right, and then the whole time,
constant expectation that you're gonna run into something.
Plus that aura of despair.
Mm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Like something doesn't quite seem right. The Dark Eight also meet here in Malshim, where they're guarded by overzealous Cornagons, Gelugons, all of whom kill on sight anyone who's not authorized to be there.
Oh, okay.
Including other pit fiends who haven't been invited.
Oh, I keep reading it as corn dogs, by the way. So Cornagon. The overzealous corn dogs.
That's I feel like that's if you were a superhero, that would be who you'd be. You'd be the overzealous corn dog.
Would I?
I feel like, yeah, I think so. Maybe. It says that no one's ever gone inside of their own accord.
Oh yeah.
And only the barmiest cutter would even think of it, which is like, it's like devil slang. It's like fiend slang, the barmiest cutter. Like,
just 1920s, like transatlantic. Oh, only the barmiest cutter would even think of going into a place like that of their own accord.
Yeah, I guess if I... It's so... Yeah, hearing someone talk like that all the time certainly seems like hell. it's a place.
I've earned that.
It's a place of power and pain, death and undeath, for even the gods surely fear to tread there.
Oh.
It's said that the Dark Eight are slowly gathering together millions of larvae in a plan. Ooh. That'll rock the Tanari to their very foundation. Now, devils and demons being, being at constant warfare. That's the blood war, the Tanari being the demons.
Mm-hmm.
Though reports are sketchy, the chant is that the Batazu, the devils, are attempting something called the Bringing. And they're willing to sacrifice millions of future potential Batazu to see it accomplished.
Now, what that
is, we don't know. The Bringing sounds ominous.
Well, like bring it, then. Let's go. I'm going to call it the Bringing, man, because that's what we're going to do.
Are they bros?
Are
they
like frat bros? They're frat bros.
Yeah. I'd say a combination of that, like
the Brotazoo.
the 1920s voice and like frat bros. That definitely sounds like my hell. So Malshim is big enough to house millions of devils, an army larger than any fielded in the Blood War. But like I said, they usually don't interfere with that. That's sort of, I guess, below them, if not above them. You get what I mean. Now, if a body were, if somebody were to get themselves invited here, maybe as a part of a deal, they could learn all sorts of things. On the other hand, nobody's stupid enough to try to cut a deal with those who control this lair, right?
Sure. I'm sure nobody's ever been that stupid.
I mean, I feel like every DM listening to this right now is like, I've got a player, if not a couple of players in my party that are that stupid.
Mm-hmm. 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 Are they stupid or do they just not care?
Stupid like a fox.
Stupid like a fox. It's only stupid if it doesn't work.
Hey, there you go.
It's only stupid if it does not work.
Also, located at the bottom of an enormous trench below, mm-hmm. or directly below the portal from the pit in Kanya, it's mm-hmm. inhabited by devils held in reserve for an unknown cataclysmic battle. So you just got this, like, this trench with millions of devils just chilling.
Okay.
It's like waiting.
Held in reserve, my brain went to like stasis as well.
Like Fry from Futurama.
Uh-huh.
Well, maybe.
But just millions of devils. You're just walking through this pit and they're all just standing there frozen. Or in various positions, frozen and time and space.
Blech. Yeah,
it's like mannequins, and then one moves.
Like that thing just move.
Mm-hmm.
Some other places. Tabjari is a copper-clad citadel that juts from the wall of a deep rift and serves mm-hmm. as a repository for dark lore that stands along the walls of Reaper's Canyon. Now this, if you and I ever found ourselves in Nessus, this is probably where we'd want to go. In its vaults lies one copy of the three which exist of the Pact Diabolus, an ancient agreement between Asmodeus and the deities regarding the devil's place in the universe.
Ooh.
The Pact Primeval.
Mm-hmm.
The other two remain in Mechanus and on Mount Celestia.
Right.
No mortal has ever viewed the pact, but many suspect that Asmodeus got the better of his divine enemies.
I mean, it's kind of his thing.
I mean, that's his brand for sure.
Right. If he didn't, would he really deserve to be in that position?
Right. Or and if he didn't, would he really admit it?
Also like,
man,
true.
They really got me. They really bent me over a barrel. God dang it. Oh, well.
Yeah,
I tried.
They got me. There's no way they got him. He wouldn't let it happen. Reputation.
I know, right? I mean, like I say, he couldn't suffer that, like mm-hmm. even if it were true. The chalices of woe, creatures who arouse the particular ire of Asmodeus are sealed into red hot coffins and left here, kept alive through endless years of torment by diabolical magic. These hundreds of chalices stand in rows amid the ruins of a forgotten city. Some are said to hold the spirits of great heroes who fell under Asmodeus's power centuries ago.
Quest hook. Quest hook.
Right, exactly.
Beautiful.
Neshmanar, this secretive city, hides behind towering walls of black stone broken only by a small single gate. Which, like, that seems more terrifying than, like, this giant, like, you know, ominous gate.
With all the guard towers and all the intense,
just this little, like, you know, rinky-dink small gate. I'm like, no,
that's
I'm not going
trap.
In. I'm not going in there.
That gate's a trap. In any video game I have ever played, that would be a trap.
Within its gloomy halls, a cabal of Cambians and devils learned in arcane lore, experiment with the breeding of monsters, the creation of infernal constructs, and the perfection of dark rituals.
Oh, that sounds like the worst place ever.
That sounds like a trap for sure.
That's definitely a trap.
It says that damned souls brought to Neshmanar are consumed in the most terrible ways imaginable, sometimes as nothing more than to feed hellish monstrosities. Some of which are like just, yet unknown beyond the citadel walls, like things you've never even seen or heard of before.
That's where they're brewing up stuff for the monster manual.
Exactly. That's Santa's workshop for the monster manual.
That's Santa's workshop for the DMs. That's a little something for us.
And there's a pit fiend by the name of Neshem who rules over this city and supervises the dark studies of its foul lords.
Fantastic. What else is there?
I had to pare it down. There's so many cool places. I had to pick just a few of my favorites. The Gorge of Slaughter.
Yeah.
When a pit fiend is born of Asmodeus's veins, sheds blood, a lower order devil, more often a Barbo, is born. And many of these creatures have a lust for violence that's second only to that of demons. And they migrate to this area, to this Gorge of Slaughter. Hordes of lesser devils congregate along low shelves carved into the canyon walls. And when they're not fighting for the floor of this gorge, they watch with screaming glee while other devils rend each other. They grow stronger, the survivors, and the weak are eminently replaceable.
That sounds awful. I love it.
It sounds like a devil like fight club.
You're not supposed to talk about that.
I mean, right. Sounds like something that I know. That I
know nothing about.
Nope. Not even a little bit. There's the Crevice of Regret. This is awesome. Mortals of alignments other than lawful evil who approach this gorge with the intention of descending into it feel a twinge or unease. Mm-hmm. As if entering such a place would be a transgression against their belief, and they must exceed a DC 25 will save to continue downward.
That is fantastic.
There's Hell's Lips.
Mm-hmm.
Mortals venturing through the entrance to this gorge become unnaturally hungry and thirsty. They consume food and water supplies at 4 times the normal rate. Now, the terrible person / DM in me reads that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, okay, so what happens if they run out of food and water? You know, what happens
they better figure it out.
I think we got some cannibals on our hands.
Probably.
Right?
Probably. Or they would eat the demons.
I'd say they probably
hunt for something.
I mean, that demon meat's so, or the devil meat's so gamey though.
It's just like jerky.
Oh, I would like some jerky. I would like,
but it's flavor.
I would, oh no.
There's no seasonings in hell.
Dang,
Sergio.
It just, I was going to say, like, I try some devil jerky.
Anti-Texan is all I'm turning this into.
This is, yeah. And it's, I guess it's, you know, depending on where you're from, it's, you know, it's whatever you would hate. That would be what it is. Yep. As Texans, that's what it is for us.
This is our hell.
So we also have the Citadel of Fortress Nesses, which is, you know, Asmodeus is like personal abode.
Right, that's where he kicks it.
It rises far above the plain from the bottom of the rift. And then finally, we're going to talk about the Serpent's Coil, which is the deepest rift of the lair.
Ooh.
But due to the overwhelming number of trenches in Nessus, it's not immediately obvious. However, upon closer inspection, it's revealed a rift that spirals in on itself over the course of hundreds of miles.
Oh.
About 1 mile wide, The serpent's coil descends roughly 5 miles to the very bottom of the tip.
You would get so lost so easily.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Unbeknownst to the Batazu inhabitants of Nessus, the serpent's coil was formed by the plummeting body of Asmodeus at the end of his fall, and his satanic form still rests at the bottom of the rift. The story goes that the true form of Asmodeus actually still resides in this deepest rift of Nessus. And that the shape that is seen by all the other devils of the nine hells and anybody else who is unlucky enough to find themselves there in the fortress of Malshim is actually a highly advanced use of the project image spell or an avatar of some sort. Like we mentioned that on the rare occasions that he does appear in person, he takes the form of a red-skinned humanoid, slim, small black horns, dressed in bejeweled robes, and affecting an urbane manner.
Right.
A calm, chillingly reasonable creature whose modest appearance is completely at odds with his true power.
Hmm.
But, you know, as far as his true form, still laying at the bottom of Serpent's Coil, his wounds have yet to heal. His acid black blood pooling in the hollows of the rift, a substance fouler than foul. The blood shed by Asmodeus' wounds constantly sprout new devils, perfect specimens of pit fiends and corn dogs. Oh, cornugons.
Pete fiends and corn dogs.
These devils, consisting of cornugons and peat fins, are pit fiends.
I'm so glad it's not just me. I do that all the time.
Are perfect specimens of their race.
Oh.
They have maximum hit points and they're blindly loyal to Asmodeus. And as we've said before, there's a huge army. After so many years of languishing in Nessus, Asmodeus has built up this army of incredible size.
Yeah, he's just laying there bleeding out, making more of them.
Right. And should he break free of Bator, a horde of pit fiends and cornugons would follow in his wake. So let's hope Asmodeus never gets free of Nessus.
I hope nobody sets a group of really high-level adventurers on him to, you know, maybe stop that or something. That'd be crazy.
Or maybe let's do an evil campaign. Let's free Asmodeus.
Let's go free Asmodeus for reasons.
For why? For reasons.
Reasons. Asking for a friend. Who's your friend? Asmodeus.
Dang it,
you tricked me.
So there you have it. That is the first of the nine layers of hell that we will be discussing during our Hotter Than the Nine Hells series.
Yep. I am excited.
And if you want to get some more Nessus action, you can sign up for the Patreon. Starting at the scholar level, you get access to all of our bonus content, including Patreon Plus installments. And we've got one for Nessus. It's absolutely chef's kiss of a character that I found named Alices, the Butcher of Nessus.
Anybody whose name is the Butcher of, like, that's the character I want to read about. I'm like, oh, I'm going to hate this guy. It's going to be awesome.
It's going to be so good. But yeah, we'll dive into that for the Patreon Plus installment of this episode. And if, like I said, if you're interested in that, check out patreon.com/DnDLorecast.
Yep.
Thank you so much for listening. Thank you for letting us be a part of your life for this short amount of time.
You guys are awesome.
My name is Sergio.
And I am Mary.
Fare thee well, dear listener. And until we meet again, may all your 20s be natural.
Thank you for listening to the Dungeons & Dragons Lorecast. If you've enjoyed the show, consider following us on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok at DndLorecast, or jumping into the Robots Radio Discord to chat more with us about Dungeons & Dragons. We'll see you soon.
listening to the Robots Radio Podcast. Smart shows